Welcome back to the Crypto Daily, everyone. Today we have Anthony Blockchain joining us to discuss a rather unsettling trend we're seeing on certain social media platforms. Anthony, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So, Anthony, we've been seeing these reports about Truth Social, former President Trump's social media platform, being rife with crypto scams. Gizmodo even got their hands on some FTC complaints. What's your take on all of this?
It's a perfect storm, really. You have a platform with, let's just say, a less crypto-savvy user base, many of whom are older and potentially more susceptible to these kinds of scams. And these aren't your run-of-the-mill phishing attempts. We're talking about sophisticated pig-butchering scams where these con artists invest weeks, even months, building trust and emotional connections with their victims.
That's what's so scary about it. It's not just some random spam message. It's calculated manipulation, often preying on people's loneliness or desire for connection. And the amounts these victims are losing are staggering. Hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars, wiped out in an instant.
Absolutely. And the saddest part is, these scammers often convince their victims that they're making wise investments. They show them fake dashboards with impressive returns, further drawing them into the web of lies. By the time they realize it's a scam, it's often too late.
It's heartbreaking. And the FTC complaints paint a bleak picture. One person lost $170,000 trying to recover money from a previous scam. Another, a 72-year-old man, lost $21,000 to a supposed beautiful woman he met on the platform. And the worst part, he hasn't even told his wife.
It highlights the devastating impact these scams can have, not just financially, but emotionally as well. These victims are often left feeling betrayed, ashamed, and too embarrassed to even seek help.
It's a stark reminder that while the world of crypto offers immense potential, it also attracts its fair share of bad actors. And unfortunately, platforms like Truth Social, with their specific demographics and, shall we say, relaxed moderation policies, become breeding grounds for these scams. Well, Anthony, it seems like Logic's gamble on Bitcoin a few years back has paid off handsomely. Remember that $6 million investment he made back in 2020? Turns out it would be worth over $20 million today. Talk about a return on investment.
It's a staggering increase, Sarah, and a testament to Bitcoin's volatile yet ultimately upward trajectory over the past few years. Of course, it's important to note that this is all based on the assumption that he held onto his Bitcoin, which, knowing the often unpredictable nature of crypto, is not a guarantee.
So, Anthony, this conversation between Scaramucci and Noel Acheson about Bitcoin and gold being hedges, especially in our current economic climate, really piqued my interest. What are your thoughts?
It's a classic debate, Sarah, and one that's particularly relevant now, with inflation still stubbornly high and geopolitical uncertainty looming large. I find it interesting that they both seem to agree on Bitcoin and gold as hedges, even though they have very different properties.
Exactly. Gold has that historical track record, a tangible asset that's held its value for millennia. But Bitcoin, it's still the new kid on the block, volatile and largely driven by speculation. How does that reconcile in terms of hedging?
That's the million-dollar question, right? I think it boils down to what kind of chaos you're hedging against. Gold might be the go-to for traditional economic turmoil, but Bitcoin, with its decentralized nature, could be seen as a hedge against systemic risks like government overreach or fiat currency collapse.
That's a really interesting distinction. So it's less about one being better than the other and more about choosing the right tool for the specific risk you're looking to mitigate.
Precisely. And let's not forget the macroeconomic factors at play. Axon talks about stagflation, which could really put both gold and Bitcoin in the spotlight. We've seen gold perform well in such environments historically, and Bitcoin, with its limited supply, could also be seen as a hedge against inflation.
So, Anthony, this article in Crypto Daily really caught my eye. It talks about the iShares Bitcoin Trust, a spot Bitcoin ETF, and its potential to skyrocket over the next decade. Are we witnessing the birth of a Bitcoin ETF boom?
It's definitely possible, Sarah. Remember, these spot Bitcoin ETFs are relatively new, having just debuted this year. The fact that BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, is behind the iShares Bitcoin Trust is a major vote of confidence. And let's not forget the convenience factor for investors. They can now add Bitcoin to their portfolios through their existing brokerage accounts, bypassing the complexities of crypto exchanges.
That ease of access is a game changer, no doubt. But the article takes it a step further, suggesting Bitcoin could surge 1,280% by 2032, based on historical halving patterns and the stock-to-flow model. What's your take on that prediction?
Well, the halving events are baked into Bitcoin's DNA, and historically, they've been followed by price surges. The logic is sound. Reduced supply coupled with growing demand tends to push prices upward. The stock-to-flow model provides a framework for understanding this scarcity-driven appreciation.
But a 1,280% gain? That seems almost too good to be true, even for the volatile world of crypto.
I hear you, Sarah. It's crucial to remember that past performance is not indicative of future results. While the model offers a compelling narrative, predicting the future price of any asset, let alone Bitcoin, is a fool's errand. Numerous factors could influence its trajectory, including regulatory changes, technological advancements, and broader market sentiment.
And let's not forget the inherent volatility of Bitcoin. We've seen its price plummet before, and those stomach-churning drops are likely to happen again.
Absolutely. It's a high-risk, high-reward asset class. Anyone considering investing in Bitcoin, whether directly or through an ETF like the iShares Bitcoin Trust, needs to be prepared for a wild ride and ensure they're not overexposing themselves.
Speaking of opportunities, I've been seeing a lot of buzz around cloud mining lately, particularly platforms like CryptoKeying that promise passive income from Bitcoin mining. Anthony, what's your take on this trend?
It's definitely appealing, Sarah. The idea of earning Bitcoin without the hassle of hardware or electricity costs is enticing, especially for those who might find traditional mining daunting.
CryptoKeying in particular boasts some pretty impressive claims. Earning $1,000 or more per day, VIP bonuses, even a $50 million advertising bounty. It all sounds almost too good to be true.
And that's the thing, Sarah. While cloud mining can be legitimate, it's also a breeding ground for scams. It's crucial to do your due diligence. Look into the platform's reputation, read reviews, and be wary of any promises that sound too extravagant.
So, how can our listeners separate the wheat from the chaff? What red flags should they watch out for?
First and foremost, transparency is key. Legitimate cloud mining providers will openly share information about their operations, including their mining facilities, hash rate, and fees. If a company is shrouded in secrecy, that's a major warning sign.
What about those referral programs and bonuses? CryptoKeying heavily emphasizes those as a way to boost earnings.
Referral programs are common in many industries, but when they become the primary focus, it raises a red flag. A legitimate cloud mining operation should stand on its own merits, not rely solely on recruiting new members.
Speaking of whales and early adopters, this next story takes us back to the early days of Bitcoin. An ancient whale just moved a chunk of their holdings for the first time in a decade. Anthony, what's the backstory here?
Right. So this whale, holding Bitcoin since 2009, just transferred a significant amount to Kraken. What's fascinating is that their stash remained untouched for almost 10 years, witnessing Bitcoin's price skyrocket from a few hundred dollars to tens of thousands.
It's incredible to think about the potential stories behind this. Do we have any clues about their identity?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The timing is especially interesting with the upcoming HBO documentary claiming to reveal Satoshi Nakamoto's identity. Some speculate this whale might be connected, or even Satoshi themselves.
It's like a real-life treasure hunt. The documentary links this to Len Sassaman, a renowned cypherpunk. Any thoughts?
While it's tempting to connect the dots, we have to tread carefully. Sassaman was critical of Bitcoin's early privacy features, and his wife stated he wasn't Satoshi. Still, the timing of his death shortly after Satoshi's departure from the project is intriguing, to say the least.
It feels like every clue leads to another mystery. What do you make of the whale moving their Bitcoin now, after all this time?
It's open to interpretation. Perhaps they're simply diversifying their portfolio or finally cashing in on a portion of their holdings. Or maybe it's a strategic move, a signal of some sort, the timing coinciding with the documentary and renewed interest in Satoshi's identity is certainly food for thought.
Speaking of Satoshi, there's a new theory making the rounds. Samson Moe, an early Bitcoiner and former colleague of Adam Back, has suggested a possible connection between Satoshi and China. Apparently, Moe was in China the same year Bitcoin was created.
Interesting. Moe has quite the history in the crypto space. He ran a major Bitcoin exchange in China back in 2009 and later joined Blockstream, which was founded by Adam Back, a prominent figure often linked to Satoshi. What's the basis for his theory?
Well, it's a bit cryptic, but Moe points to the fact that he was in China in 2009, the year Bitcoin was born. He even joked about not being Satoshi himself in a recent post. The most intriguing detail he shared was that the first character of the Genesis block, the very first block mined on the Bitcoin blockchain, matches the first character in the spelling of China. He even said, "It just can't be coincidence."
That's quite a leap, even for the crypto world. We've heard theories linking Satoshi to various individuals and even government agencies, but China has been particularly hostile towards Bitcoin. They banned ICOs, cracked down on mining, and are pushing their own CBDC, the Yuan.
Exactly. It seems counterintuitive. Why would China create something they later try to dismantle? Some speculate that Bitcoin could have been a tool to challenge the US dollar's dominance, and once it gained traction, they felt the need to control it. It's a conspiracy theorist's dream, really.
It's definitely fuel for the rumor mill. Moe's claims need to be taken with a grain of salt, but his background and presence in China during Bitcoin's infancy add another layer of intrigue to the whole Satoshi mystery.
Speaking of Satoshi theories, Billy Marcus, the co-creator of Dogecoin, seems to have a rather cynical view on this whole HBO documentary. He tweeted, "I can't wait to be underwhelmed and disappointed by the HBO Satoshi documentary."
That's classic Shibatoshi. It's not surprising, though. Dogecoin was created as a satirical response to Bitcoin's seriousness. Marcus has always approached the crypto space with a healthy dose of humor and skepticism. Remember, he even calls himself Shibatoshi Nakamoto on X.
True, but his comment reflects a broader sentiment. There's been so much hype and speculation surrounding Satoshi's identity for years. Now, with this HBO documentary claiming to unveil the truth, expectations are sky high. Some people are bound to be disappointed, no matter who they reveal.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, even if the documentary presents compelling evidence, there's no guarantee it will satisfy everyone. The true believers will likely dismiss it as a fabrication, while others might find the truth less exciting than the mystery itself.
It's a fascinating sociological phenomenon. The myth of Satoshi has become as integral to Bitcoin as the technology itself. It's almost as if the anonymity fuels the decentralized narrative.
It definitely adds to the mystique. And let's not forget the Polymarket bets. Apparently, 75% of users believe Satoshi is Len Sassaman, a cryptographer who allegedly committed suicide in 2011, just months after Satoshi disappeared.
That's a theory I hadn't heard before. But again, it's all speculation at this point. We'll have to wait and see what evidence, if any, the HBO documentary presents.
It's interesting to see how these developments reflect the evolving crypto landscape. You have Binance Web3 Wallet enhancing its platform with features like SOL staking, clearly aiming to attract more users and increase engagement.
Right, and it makes sense. They're trying to cater to the growing demand for passive income opportunities within the DeFi space. Staking is becoming increasingly popular, and Binance is smart to capitalize on that trend.
Absolutely. But then you have Trump's World Liberty Financial, which seems almost paradoxical. He's been a vocal critic of crypto in the past, and now he's launching his own project in the middle of a presidential campaign.
It's definitely a strategic move, Anthony. He's trying to tap into the growing demographic of crypto enthusiasts, many of whom are disillusioned with traditional politics. By embracing digital assets, he's hoping to sway some of those voters to his side.
And it might just work. Love him or hate him, Trump knows how to grab headlines and generate buzz. His entry into the crypto space is only going to fuel further adoption and mainstream acceptance.
And let's not forget Plus Wallet's innovative approach to token listings. their 15-minute listing time is a game changer, especially for traders who want to capitalize on early market movements.
Absolutely. In the fast-paced world of crypto, speed is everything. Plus, wallets' ability to list tokens so quickly gives them a significant edge over traditional exchanges.
It's been a fascinating conversation today, Anthony. We've covered a lot of ground, from the evolving regulatory landscape to the potential impact of AI on the blockchain. One thing is clear: the crypto space is constantly evolving, and it's an exciting time to be a part of it.
I completely agree, Sarah. The innovation and creativity within this industry are truly remarkable. I'm excited to see what the future holds.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Crypto Daily. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and a special thanks to Anthony Blockchain for joining us. Until next time, stay informed, stay ahead of the curve, and as always, keep on exploring the exciting world of crypto.